This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's Jason McIntyre here on Straight Fire for Thursday, December 2nd. Got a good one tonight in the NFL. Oh boy, Dallas Cowboys looking to end their skid in New Orleans. Very fired up for it. We've talked line movement, we've talked COVID, we've talked injuries, and we wrap it up all in a beautiful little box for you today with an interview with Clarence Hill of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram. Now, we recorded it yesterday before the Amari Cooper May play news. And I got to be honest, like, Clarence is a straight shooter. I've known him for a while. I've had him on my radio show a ton. There is some consternation in Dallas right now about this game because, folks, it is the start of a three-game road trip for Dallas. You know that's not often in the NFL that you have to play back-to-back-to-back road games. And it's coming on the heels of the three games in 12 days, given the Thanksgiving morass. And, of course, Amari Cooper's COVID and Mike McCarthy's got COVID. Dallas is in a tough spot. All that being said, I kind of like Dallas here. We'll talk about it in the best bet later, but I think I like Dallas. This is a perfect spot. Everybody's doubting Dallas, and I think they probably show up here, but we'll get to that in the best bet and Clarence Hill shortly. Quickly, it was not a huge sports day Wednesday, but big but, off our Tuesday interview with Dan Wolkin of USA Today Sports, you know, we talked about the idea of Notre Dame either going Luke Fickell or with Marcus Freeman. And a lot of you probably have, even college football fans, have no idea who Marcus Freeman is. I mean, he had a cup of coffee in the NFL with the Bears and a couple other teams, but he was a big-time high school football player in Ohio, like parade All-American. And he's one of these guys who the young players get. He crushes it in recruiting, and he's a great coach. So he was at Cincinnati for a minute. And last year, he interviewed at LSU for the defensive coordinator job, and he interviewed at Notre Dame. And it was an interesting spot because, you know, Ed Orgeron had just won a title the prior year, or 2 years prior, and, you know, Notre Dame, you know, was it obviously a marquee school, and Brian Kelly's been there for a while, but, it, you know, he chose Notre Dame over LSU, according to multiple reports. And look at how incredible that worked out for him. You know, life always has these forks in the road where you pick this avenue and this is where it takes you in life. And then you take the other one and this kind of what happens. You know, you could do that. What is it? Is it called sliding doors? I always joke with my buddies that I actually met my wife the night of the Aaron Boone home run game. Yankees Red Sox way back in the day in New York City at a bar. And what if we weren't like set up or anything, but what if she had not gone into the bar that night? Like, and I got her number. Then you just never know where life takes you. And obviously, you know, it panned out for us. Here we are a long time later and several cities later and a couple kids and all that fun stuff. But, Marcus Freeman at 35 years old. Well, he's going to turn 36 in January, but he's going to be the new Notre Dame head football coach. Now, the Irish usually because I tried to look at their history. I can't remember the last time they hired a first-time head football coach. Somebody tried to tell me it was Bob Davey, and that did not work out well. But we'll see how this experiment goes. And Wolkin put it pretty smart, which we should have read into, was if Notre Dame does not make Freeman the guy, they're going to lose him because he's just he was just in demand and he's going to get a job somewhere. And, you know, I don't know how this is going to work out for a young guy. I know he's highly thought of and everybody likes him, but this is the head football coach at Notre Dame, one of the most popular programs in the country. There's a lot on his plate. Now, he is an Ohio State guy. Enter your Ohio State jokes here. Oh, yeah, fill in for Ryan Day in 10 years. I thought that was the biggest news in sports. Not a lot happening. Listen, college basketball, it's a decent week for college hoops. It's a decent week for the NBA, as they all are. I'm not going to spend time about Giannis versus LaMelo Ball in a great game. Oh, it was fantastic. I mean, folks, like, yeah, I bet on the Bucks. Yeah, they didn't cover. Yeah, LaMelo was really good. okay, you know, you turn the page, I got to run it back the next day. I mean, I'd sooner rather tell you about my pickup basketball game Wednesday, which was intense. Great basketball was played, and also some really bad, poor basketball, but it was awesome. I just love it. By the way, the outdoor game we've had for a long time, you know, the weather is not great now. A lot of fog out here but in the beach cities. I think we're going to take it indoor here in short order. I know you guys love to hear my pickup basketball updates. I did not shoot particularly well. I think in the first game I started 0 for 9. Yes, that's real. I don't mind being honest with you. But then I had a big, 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 big three late. And yeah, it was a big three-pointer. But it's fun. I just love playing pickup basketball. Love just being competitive. And, you know, I love gambling. So, no, I don't gamble on pickup basketball games. All right, let's get to our guest, Clarence Hill of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram.
You know a guy.
Jason likes to think he knows everything when it comes to sports.
I know what sports fans want.
But for everything he doesn't, he knows a guy who does.
Let's just say I know a guy who knows a guy who knows another guy.
Let's welcome into Straight Fire a guy who knows the Dallas Cowboys as well as anybody. And this is a team, they got a big game this week. They've lost 3 of 4. Clarence Hill firing on social media, getting the Cowboys fan base all riled up. Clarence, how are you, man?
I'm well, man. How are you doing, man? They're riled up. You know, this is, I've said it last week, I've never seen a team pull the rug out from under their fans so much over the last 25 years. But it's just like, it's always to get them excited, then the bottom falls out. And that is potentially the case right now. They're reeling. They've lost the last 4, lost 2 straight. They're not looking good. Now they face this must-win game against the Saints with the head coach in COVID, you know, and several other coaches in COVID. They're COVID rad. This is a must-win game. Everybody thought the East was locked up, you know, and now they have a precarious 2-game lead over the Washington football team.
And they still have to play Washington twice in the month of December. Now, listen, I don't like talking about COVID. People get all riled up and fire. I mean, it's a divisive topic. That being said, Clarence, this Amari Cooper thing, I don't want to point fingers, but we've seen guys who had tested positive after the vax and they maybe missed a game. But we don't know how he's going to bounce back. And we've seen the splits for Dak Prescott without Amari Cooper. They ain't pretty, right?
No. Mark Cooper makes all the difference in the world for Dak Prescott. He should give him half of that contract, because if you look at where he was before the trade and where he's been since the trade, his career just taken off with the addition of Mark Cooper. Got his COVID in a stretch within 3 games in 12 days. His 3 games in 12 days because of the Thanksgiving Day stretch. They played Kansas City and played Raiders 4 days later. And then 7 days later, they're playing the Saints. So that's why it's kind of funky. But still, you know, Ben Roethlisberger came back within 7 days. I mean, but he was vaccinated. And we can say all you want to, and we can cry blue in your face. Yes, vaccinated players can get COVID. Most of the players who've gotten COVID have been vaccinated. But the issue is doing everything you can to prevent getting COVID. Jerry Jones, Mike McCarthy have talked about the importance of vaccine as far as the community, as far as the team concept.
All right, let's move on to McCarthy and COVID. Now, we've seen other head coaches get it, and the fan base is like, well, this is a win. Nagy has a positive. He's off the sideline. We get to get creative and fun. Where are people on McCarthy? Is he getting a lot of blame for this three losses in the last 4 games? Because, I mean, they were 6-1, and I didn't hear anybody complaining.
They were 6-1. They were 7-2, and everybody was talking about Operation Los Angeles. They're booking their trips, and you know, it's all about, we got to worry about the Packers. We got to worry about the Cardinals. And, you know, we got, you know, home field advantage. They, you know, we need home field advantage. And now they're scarring and scuffling, you know, to keep their lead in the NFC East. And right now he's not getting any of the blame. You know, it's just a unique situation. You got the injuries, you got, the COVID stuff. And that's the time we live in. You look at across the league, the Cardinals, the Vikings, the COVID spike in November is affected everybody, you know, and it's across the league. You look at the numbers across the league, and there are more and more players who have gotten COVID. I don't know if you can point to Mike McCarthy being the reason why they went 7-2, you know, because, you know, everybody was hailing, you know, Kellen Moore in the offense, and we're hailing Dan Quinn in the defense, and Kellen Moore's going to be the new head coach. You know, now they've lost 3 or 4. Let's not put that on Mike McCarthy. Let's put that on that offense has been awful. The offense has been awful. And that defense was awful against the Raiders.
Okay, speaking of the offense, I don't know what to make of Ezekiel Elliott. This is a stat that I just looking at the big picture, they have not had a 100-yard rusher since October 10th, and Zeke Elliott's carries have gone down significantly.
He's hurt. He's hurt. There's no question about that. He's hurt. He's been bothered by a knee injury since the Carolina game. They're trying to get Tony Pollard more touches. They've reduced Elliott's workload. He's only had 9 carries in each of the last 2 games. You know, they're trying to manage it. You know, hopefully get, you know, at, you know, past this game, and you have a little break before they play Washington next weekend. But, you know, it's something he's going to have to manage the rest of the season. But Elliott is not the same back as he was at the beginning of the season because he's hurt.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
So I want to ask Clarence about the running back situation, right? So Zeke's hurt. We're looking around the rest of the league. Dalvin Cook is hurt again. Christian McCaffrey played 3 games, hurt again. Derrick Henry out for the season. Nick Chubb's missed time. I just wonder, has the Dallas strategy of building around Zeke and Zeke being the focal point, we know Jerry Jones loves him. Are we willing to put that to bed and just say, listen, he's going to break down at some point, all running backs do?
Well, I mean, I'm a player guy. You know, and I'm just going to tell you, I think players should get paid and get all they can. And
yes,
and I'm going to always side with players getting their money because we know the owners are going to get their money and they get their money. And I guess from a organizational standpoint, how do you build? I just think guys should be rewarded for what they've done. And Zeke deserved his money for what he's done. And, you know, you can, and so, but there's a reality of the running back position and running backs breaking down. I don't know if it was, you know, it's funny because, you know, I'm old school and I remember, you know, Emmitt rushing for NFL record rushing yards. You know, I don't think he broke down after 6 years, you know, but now we can't pay running back because they're done after 5 years. I don't remember the Eric Dickersons and all those guys being done after 4 or 5 years, you know, and they carried way more than these guys carried now. The rules were much different. Now it's like, well, just you don't invest in the running back because they're going to break down after 4 or 5 years. I guess I don't want to buy it. I think some of this stuff is just happenstance. You know, I have no problem with Tennessee paying their running back. I think he's going to be fine for the next 3 or 4 years. And they should. I mean, he deserves everything he's gotten. Zeke deserves everything he's gotten. You know, and Christian McCaffrey was what all Carolina had to invest in when Cam was breaking down and he was their entire offense. You know, so some of that is at work, but you know, you have to look at the reality of top running backs and what they mean to building a team and building offense, and especially in today's passing age. But you know, Fournette is not getting paid, but I think he's important to what Tampa Bay is doing down there. You know, but it's only an issue when you start getting paid. It's not an issue.
Well, it's weird.
You're
Todd
not
Gurley.
Getting paid. It's not an issue. You know, but the running game is very important to the team's success. And you look at the Cowboys, when they were successful, when Dak was successful, when this offense was successful, even this year, they had the number one rushing attack in the league.
Yeah.
They were running the ball well and it was setting up things. They have not run the ball well. If you look at, you know, their problems in losing 3 of the last 4 games, they're averaging 3.5 yards a carry. The running game has gone south. Is that Zeke's fault? Is that Tony Pollard's fault? Is that the scheme's fault? Is that how teams are now defending them? The offensive line has not been good. Is not just the running backs, but the running game is important to what the Cowboys do on offense. Whether you want to say they're putting too much in Zeke or whoever it is, running the ball is important to their success in the passing game, to why they were scoring so many points, why they were such a wide open offense. I don't think it's about one person, but it's about the running game.
I am curious. You know, the more I listen to you, it almost sounds, Clarence, like this 3 losses in 4 game hiccup, a lot of it has to do with schedule and just unlucky injuries, COVID. I mean, when between the COVID and the Zeke injury and 3 games in 12 days, like this is just like, should we say this is an outlier? Are they really a 6-1 team, or is this recent stinky stretch more closer to what this Cowboys team is?
I mean, what is Tennessee right now? I mean,
they're garbage. Tennessee's garbage.
What was Buffalo when they lost to Jacksonville? You know, it's like, this league, this season is funky, you know, and it's been a funky season. Arizona's the only one I would say that has handled things better than most, you know, starting to win in two of the three games without, you know, Kyler Murray. But yeah, I mean, the Cowboys and the Cowboy fans want to say this is just a bad stretch, you know, and then to get some unluckiness. But, you know, time for excuses are over. You know, you got a Saints team that's lost four straight games, playing with a backup quarterback. Yeah, you don't have your coach, but you do have your quarterback. And you do have, you know, you do have the bulk of your players out there. You should win this game. You know, you call it a bad stretch all you want to, but, you know, you should win this game. Arizona won without their coach. You know, you have your quarterback. You have your defense. Your offensive line is pretty much intact. I mean, right tackle, Terrence Steele is not playing, but Lael Collins has replaced him. He's been the starter there for the last 4 years. So it's not like it's a letdown. So you got the bulk of your offensive line there. You got your running backs. You got CeeDee Lamb. Zeke, time's out for excuses for the Cowboys. I mean, they got to get this thing going because, again, it's not just about winning the NFC East and getting the playoffs. It's about, you know, trying to be a Super Bowl contender for the first time, you know, since 1995, which they haven't done. With they were all excited about the Cowboys. Their players are the ones talking Super Bowl early in the season. Amari Cooper, you know, Dak Prescott, Zeke, they were talking about this is a special team. We have something special going on. Well, it ain't going to be easy. Everything going to be smooth. Yeah. You got to learn how to win ugly. And that's what you have to do now.
Speaking of schedule, I just also noticed, Clarence, three straight road games ahead, which is a stretch that not a lot of people have. Now, I know it's New Orleans, Washington, New York, not exactly, you know, a killer threesome of teams. That being said, two of these games, Washington and New York, are outdoors in what will probably be crappy weather in the Northeast in the middle of December. Is it okay? Should we just say that Dallas cannot get home field advantage, or do you think they're still in the mix for that?
No, they're not in the mix of home for the banner. They just need to win the division. You know, they win the division, they'll get one home playoff game. But, I mean, they just need to take care of business. We need to, you know, the Cowboys fans, everybody's talking about home field advantage. Let that go. Y'all need to right yourself. Get yourself right. You know, start winning some games. Win some games, and then you can talk about that again. You have Arizona at the end of the season. You know, if something's in play, we'll see. But they have to get right. And you say that they're crappy teams, but New Orleans is tough at home. They do have the number one ranked run defense. Mm-hmm. This will not be an easy game Thursday night, you know, and then you have to play at Washington and at the Giants. And, you know, they're all, you know, Washington's, you know, Washington defense is pretty good. You know, we can say what you want about Washington, but that defense is pretty good. You saw that the other night, the way they just shut down a bad Seattle. Seattle's awful, but they could do nothing. Washington defense is pretty good. And they're playing hard. So, you know, this is the stretch. You know, if they want to end the division and put all that stuff to rest, start winning some games. Mm. You know, winning this week and winning next week will do that.
Briefly, from the glass half full perspective, because I know I sound negative, Clarence. DeMarcus Lawrence hasn't played in forever. Randy Gregory, who was incredible, has been on IR. There is still like, wait a minute, let's not say the sky's falling. We're 7-4. We've got arguably our two best defenders coming off IR. Zeke's going to get better. CeeDee Lamb and Cooper will return. Like, there is a glass half full aspect to this, right?
No, there's no question about that. You know, they do have guys coming back. They do that. Jared, like I said, the Calvary's on the come. You know, the Calvary's coming. You know, got DeMarcus Lawrence coming back for the Saints game. You're going to have Randy Gregory and Neville Gallimore and some other guys coming back after that for the Washington game. And certainly you have Cooper, CeeDee Lamb going to play this week. So you're going to get healthy. But, you know, it's not always just about getting healthy. You got to be hitting on all cylinders. You got to be playing well. You want to play your best football in December, you know. And so they got to get that chemistry going again. They started, you know, you got to, you know, start feeling good about yourself again. But, yeah, the good news is the Cowboys are 7-4. They're going to get healthy. They should be at their best health-wise for the stretch one in December.
All right, Clarence, we can wrap up with, listen, I like to spin things forward and project out. Let's just say there's a collapse and the injuries don't continue, or the injuries continue and they don't win the division and maybe they get to the playoffs, maybe they don't. You know, McCarthy hasn't been there long, but I am curious, what's the vibe on him and his tenure there in Dallas? Would you say if they spiral out here, he could be in some trouble, or does Jerry not want to go through this, hey, we're not recycling coaches every 2 years deal?
Well, there are a couple of things at play because, you know, there's a good chance that they could lose Dan Quinn or Kellen Moore, you know, to head coaching opportunities. You know, and if they spiral out, do they want to let those young guys go for Mike McCarthy? You know, again, I said this last year, you know, this was never going – he was never getting the honeymoon. This was never going to be Andy Reid where you get 6-8 years to win. They brought him in to win now. You know, he was a proven coach. They didn't want any growing pains. They brought him in to win. They thought they had a Super Bowl roster. So 2 years without the playoffs, I mean, that's something that Jared's going to be looking side-eyes at. And you don't want to let Kellen Moore go. You know, he's this new Jason Garrett. You know, guy. He was, you know, he don't want to let him go. And then, you know, there's Dan Quinn, who's, you know, has done miracle work with this defense, and a guy who's won before and at some point is going to get another opportunity to be a head coach. Do you want to let him walk out the building?
You think he would have a chance at the NFL? Or we had a guest on this week who mentioned maybe Notre Dame kicks the tires on Dan Quinn.
I don't know. I think that Dan Quinn will certainly get another chance in the NFL. Does he want to coach college? No, he came from Florida before he went to Seattle. I don't know if he wants to do that. I mean, most NFL guys don't want to do that recruiting and all that other stuff that you have to do with college. You know, certainly it's Notre Dame's right to kick the tires on it. But I mean, can you sell him to the fan base? I mean, I don't know if that gets them excited.
Yeah. The Kellen Moore thing is interesting because, I mean, I know you said he's the new Jason Garrett and you laughed. Jason Garrett currently unemployed, and I don't know that there's a path to him being a head coach again in the NFL. Do you?
No, I don't. Not Jason Garrett. No, for sure. I think he's done being head coach in the NFL. I think that ship has sailed, and him being offense coordinator. I mean, there was something fundamentally wrong with how Jason ran his offense. And certainly he was still, you know, he's still living on those Troy Aikman offenses of the 1990s. That's just not what we do today. So, yeah, he's gone. And yeah, and I'm laughing about Kellen Moore being the new Jason Garrett as far as the apple of Jerry's eye. But there's a fondness for Kellen Moore here. I mean, they gave him a raise to keep him from going to Boise, and they think he's a young and up-and-coming coach, and somebody's going to snap him up. One reason why he didn't go for a college job because he thinks he and his agent think he has a chance for NFL head coaching job after the season. Wow, of course, that was when they were 7-2. Everything was going well, but, you know, there's still a lot of people who are high on Kellen Moore as a head coach.
Yeah, this is a massive Thursday night game. Very excited for Dallas and the Saints. You want to give out a score projection, or do you not do that, Clarence, out of concern for the Cowboys fans coming after you?
No, I'm not worried about the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys should win this game. It's going to be tough, but I see it as a scuffle, you know, 24-21.
Yeah, I am nervous. This Taysom Hill, not a lot of tape on him this year. Obviously, they know him from the past. But this could be a shock to the system because it could be a heavy run game.
Right.
I don't know. We don't even know if Kamara is playing, Ingram, like a lot up in the air for the Saints. So, all right, Clarence Hill, Star Telegram, love your work, and thanks for taking the time.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. The only thing better than sitting on your couch watching the game is making money while you do it. Here's your best bet.
Good stuff from Clarence Hill. He is, I love the accent too, you know, the deep south twang that he has. He could get pessimistic, but he's also wildly optimistic. And it's fun to just, the mood swings that he has with the Cowboys and their fan base are fun. And I'm going to shock you guys, I think. I like Dallas in this spot. They have lost 3 of 4, but it's not like the Saints are playing well. Looks like the Saints are going to change their quarterback and go with Taysom Hill. That does concern me a little because he is going to run the football on this Dallas defense, which is extremely soft. Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence are expected to play, which is good, is a really good sign. The Dallas secondary is very bad, so... you know, Trevor Siemian kind of sort of makes sense, but we know Trevor Siemian's basically gone out there the first three quarters and stunk up the joint, and then he's put up garbage time stats while coming back from two touchdown deficits. So I don't like Siemian at all. I had like I had liked Taysom Hill, but he just hasn't really been that guy this year. Injuries have banged him up. He took a nasty concussion blow earlier this season. I don't know if he's fully recovered from that, but I guess we'll find out tonight. I did see the news that if Amari Cooper is a go, and we won't find out till probably an hour before kickoff, if he is a go, it'll be the first time that Dak, Amari Cooper, CeeDee Lamb, Tyron Smith, Lyle Collins and Zach Martin will start a game together for Dallas. Why is that interesting? Well, last year, remember, Smith was hurt, Collins was hurt, Martin in and out of the lineup, Lamb was a rookie. Like, we haven't seen Dallas at full strength yet, and I don't think we're going to see it tonight. Although I am starting Tony Pollard in fantasy, we'll see how that works out. Ezekiel Elliott is expected to play. I just think given the upcoming games in the division, I would expect more Pollard than Zeke because Zeke is going to be the hammer you need in those division games. You don't want him to re-injure it against the Saints and then no Zeke at all down the stretch. That would be awful. So, I don't know. I think Dallas pulls out a low-scoring game. This, to me, kind of feels like maybe a 21-13, 21-16 Dallas. So, I bet it at 4.5. It is, let's see what it's now. I mean, if this dips to 4, I think you got to add to it, right? 21-16, a bunch of field goals from the Saints. And I like the Cowboys to prevail tonight. I don't love them as much as I do some other games this weekend. I don't think I'd include the Saints in any teasers. You're not going through 3. You could go up through 10. But, getting through 7 is good. 10 not as key as 3. So my bet will be Dallas minus 4.5. And I would look at the under as well. But regardless, I mean, even if the Saints come out and go up 7-0 with a good scripted drive early, I think you'll even get a better Dallas number, and I would bet that too. So I'm all in on the Cowboys tonight. I like it a lot, and good luck, everybody. We'll talk to you tomorrow.